Episode 166, BulaNetwork.com. Greetings. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kentra, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. Why does it take so long to answer the question, what do you really want to do? I don't know, but we'll talk about it next. Hey, before we begin, do me a favor. Don't do it right now, but once you get to the end of the episode, head over to iTunes and leave me a review, please. I would greatly appreciate it. As you hear podcasters say, and they say it because it's true, it helps people find us. Social proof and all that, you know, good stuff. Okay, on the agenda today is when people ask you, well, what do you really want to do? And I don't mean, like, what do you want to do right this minute? Like, where do you want to go out to eat? I mean in a bigger sense of it, with your life, with your career, with your vocation. What do you really want to do? Why is that so stinking tough to answer? I've already told you I don't really know. I have some ideas, as you might well suspect, but it's hard. It's hard, and I'd love to tell you that as you grow older, it gets easier, but sort of like speaking clearly, it doesn't. We can get tongue-tied with our life. You ever had that happen? Sure, we've all had it happen. Our whole life just is one big tongue twister sometimes. We don't know what we're saying, what we're doing, what we're thinking. We're just, as we say, we are muddling through. I have had a recent bout of clarity. And that's the only way I know to describe it. It's a bout of clarity, and I love it. I love it when I have these bouts of clarity. I just wish I would have them more frequently. But some years ago, I registered a domain name. That's always been a tough phrase to say clearly. A domain name, chasing DFW, cool. DFW, of course, being short for Dallas, Fort Worth. If you're in this part of the country, you kind of, well, I guess because of DFW International Airport, I guess a lot of people, when you say DFW, people kind of instinctively know you're talking about Dallas, Fort Worth. So I've had this sitting around chasing DFW cool. And I knew the idea. I knew the idea the minute I registered the name. Well, else I wouldn't have registered the name. Chasing DFW cool was exactly what it means. My idea was to create a podcast and website. And I just wanted to meet people in this area. I am in the DFW area, affectionately known here as the Metroplex. I've not encountered another Metroplex. I'm sure there are other Metroplexes, but it seems like that's the sole domain of Dallas Fort Worth. We're known as the Metroplex. Well, I thought it'd be a nice project. I could accomplish a few things. I thought, hey, I'll meet some great people. I'll hear some great stories. And I just want to find people in this area, people that I could actually go meet. You know, how cool would that be in this internet age where we've got all these terrific online relationships, but it's still kind of cool to get face to face with somebody. And I'm not talking about any particular genre. I'm not talking about, okay, we're just going to talk to tech kind of people, or we're going to talk to people that are doing cool stuff, online. No, I don't care. So I'm getting people lined up. If you head over to chasingdfwcool.com, you can plug in your email address and I'll make sure that you get notified when we launch it. you may have no interest in that at all, but there are some people around here. And of course, anytime you get a city this large, and I don't know what our, I don't know what the population is in this whole kind of area. 6 million? I don't know. I'm guessing. You know, you're bound to encounter some cool people doing cool stuff. So I've got a few people lined up, and some are going to surprise you. Some are going to be people that have stores that are just kind of cool, selling cool stuff. Some people are going to be creative type people doing cool stuff. So I'm not just looking for freaky odd, but that's cool too. But anybody and everybody doing cool stuff. Now, here's where the subjective part comes in and kind of what prompted record today. How do you know what's cool? And who's going to determine what's cool? Well, it's going to be kind of like, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? And that really is the point. What do you want to do with your life? What do you think you ought to do with your life? Work-wise. You know me. The grander picture is spiritual. For me, might not be for you. I think that's a mistake, but that's just, you know, it's what I'm going to tell you. But when it comes to our occupation, when it comes to, okay, we got to get up in the morning, we got to do something, we got to earn a living. Well, what do you want to do? I don't think ever before in the history of mankind have people been asking that question as fervently as they are today. I mean, there was a time, not that long ago, I'll remind you, that wasn't even on anybody's radar. What do you mean, what do I want to do? Who cares what I want to do? I got to make a living. And you know what changed it? The internet. The internet changed everything. The internet made, it shrunk the world in such a dramatic fashion that all of a sudden you could think, can the value that I provide, can the work that I do, can that be done via online? Well, initially, there were a number of things that even though the internet immediately shrunk the world, okay, no, not necessarily. I mean, we didn't have webcams initially. I remember when ICQ came out. I remember when, you know, the first real-time chat stuff came out. And so, you know, there were a number of technology things that came on the horizon that dramatically changed things. And thanks to technology like GoToMeeting, the answer now is increasingly more and more, well, it's a question. What can't you do? What can't you do in this virtual sense? Now, recently it's made all the news because Miss Yahoo, name escapes me. She's a rock star in the internet world, but you know, details like that, just, is her name really that important? Well, it's important to her. I'm sure it's important to you, but I don't remember what it is. Sorry. So she's kind of banned this whole working from home thing. And it's been all the hubbub. You know, some people have been castigating her vehemently about it. And other people have said, listen, it's a bold move and it's a wise move. She really needed to rein in the abuses over at Yahoo. I don't know. I know this. She's no dummy. So I'm kind of in that wait and see mode. I'm not one of the, I just don't tend to be real quick to judge in those kinds of things. Because it's easy from where I sit. I mean, here I am in the Yellow Studio in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and like I have a clue about how to run Yahoo. No, I don't. So I'm trusting that the board's done pretty well in selecting her, and it'll bear out that she's either making a wise move or a stupid move. You know, who knows? Meanwhile, up in Plano, Texas, by the way, is J.C. Penney. Yeah, that CEO's not doing so well. I told my wife it was on the news, and of course it's been on the news here because their stock has just been taking one hit after another. And I mean, everything this guy has tried just about has failed. He came from Apple, right? Big wheel with Apple on the retail side. Now, I got, of course, roots in retail. It kind of gets my attention, but I'm thinking, you know, dude, when you've got Apple in front of or behind your name, because that's where you work, that's who you represent, it's a little more clout than JCPenney. Sorry, JCP, but you can do a lot of things with the Apple clout behind you. But I digress. The internet affords us the opportunity to just to expand in so many ways that are very cool and very creative and opportunistic. Money-making ventures. And I have gone on record. I'll go on record again. Back many moons ago, I began to take a look and think, you know what? And of course, for me, being at a different place in life than perhaps many of you, in this whole Encore career thing, some say the second career. And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, a number of people that I know have had a lot of careers and they're not that old. Well, I spent a lifetime in the business sector. And now as I'm sloping toward the grave, it's okay. Well, now what? Now what? I want to do something different. And in earnest, big time in earnest, about 2007, began to think about it. Really, I was still working. But in 2009, I stepped away from leadership in the company where I was. And I'm like, okay, let's go in a different direction. Let's do something different. Didn't have a clue what. And boy, does that seem like a long time ago. I mean, we're talking, well, spring of 2009. 2010, 2011, 2012, and here we are approaching, well, we are at the spring of 2013. So you think 4 years, okay, does it, a grown adult person with two grown kids who are successful, who are married, who have kids of their own, who have master's degrees, and you can't figure out what you really want to do? I know it sounds crazy, but you and I both know it's easier said than done. And I've talked many times about how, for me, it was easier to start with the negative proposition of, okay, if you don't know what you want to do, then how about what you don't want to do? Well, okay, that was super easy. Because as you get older, and that's relative, but as you get older, I'm in my mid-50s, I don't mind telling you, there's just, it's not grumpy old man syndrome. It's just, you just realize, I just don't want to do that anymore. No, I don't want to do that either. So that was an easy list to compile. And then from there, it was just, these are things that take time. Would that you could just hit an accelerator and make it go faster. And if you know how to do that, I need to hear from you. results@bulanetwork.com. That's the email address, results@bulanetwork.com. I really need to hear from you, because you're not doing a great job of marketing your expertise, if you've got the answer to that. And I will happily partner with you, and I will market like a madman, and we will get the word out, and we'll change the world. That's what we'll do. We'll change the world, and we'll make a lot of money in the process, which is not a bad thing. So we can change your world and my world and the whole world. So email me if you've got the answer. I don't suspect I'm going to be getting an email, because I really don't think there is an answer. I don't know that you can accelerate it. Oh, certainly there's tips and there's techniques and there's tricks and there's conferences and there's, you know, you can go and sit in a rainforest for 3 days and try to achieve some state of zen or whatever, but it just takes some time to figure out, because there's two big components to it. The big component is, what are you capable of doing? What are you skilled at? What's your strength? What are you interested in? What gets your blood going in a good way or a bad way? Lump all of those kind of ingredients into that, you know, that bowl that we'll call capacity. What's your capacity? And you can think, well, okay, we all know that. No, we don't. No, we don't. We don't all know what we're good at. Some of us don't have a clue what we're good at. I'm just going to share with you in the few minutes that we got left. I don't want to take too much time today. I'm going to share with you some things that have brought some clarity to me over the course of the last 4 years. And if this helps, great. And if it doesn't, my apologies. But it might at least provoke some thought so that you can figure your own way out. And let's start right there. I think we do have to figure our own way out. I know that's not popular, and I know that doesn't get downloads and clicks and follows and friends and all the other stuff that we all want, because what we want are lists. Give me a list. Give me a list of 10 things. We want tips. What tips can I do? Give me techniques. What techniques can I do? Tools. I need tools. Give me tools. I know all of that. I do know all of that. I know we want those things, and I know we love those things, and I know we read those things, and we retweet those things, and we comment on those things, and we share those things, and we like those things, and I don't do any of that here, which is why my audience is so spectacularly huge. He says, tongue firmly in cheek, I know that. Here's what I know, though. I know that I can't be something I'm not. And I know that even though the marketing part of me knows that those are important things and that people click on those things. And here's something else that's true for me. And it probably stems back to my early days of selling. Because in my early days of retail, a very common, albeit unethical practice, and it goes way, way, way back to, you know, mercantile days, bait and switch. Let's show you one thing, but let's sell you something else. Well, I can't philosophically disconnect my beliefs and my philosophies and my convictions, knowing what I know and knowing that there are admittedly big blogs, big presences in social media, big presences in podcasting. And it's a big bait and switch kind of a game, because there are people who definitely are skillful, much more so than me, skillful at building a big audience. And the audience clamors for it. But you know, and I know, the audience also clamors for Kim Kardashian. Come on, we all know it's true. We all know that, you know, this common denominator is pretty low. It's pretty low. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to contribute to that noise. That's just not who I am. I couldn't sustain it. Could I pull it off? Yes. I believe enough in my own sales ability and my marketing skills. Yes, I could do that. I would be a fraud, and I would have to maintain that fraud status over an extended period of time, and it would wear really thin. And that would be presupposing that I could get over my convictions, which I can't. So it is what it is. And if that's what you want, give me a list of 3 things. Give me a list of 10 things. Give me some tips. Give me some techniques. Give me some strategy. Give me some tools that I can use. I know I'm not your guy, and I'm cool with that. I am. I'm perfectly cool with that. Does it frustrate me? Absolutely, it frustrates me. But that's part of the process. Part of the process is coming to grips with, okay, not who are you going to be, which admittedly is an important issue, in that I think we all need to be working on who we want to be. I would call that our ideal self. What does the ideal version of you look like? I mean, none of us have reached the pinnacle. I mean, none of us, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've accomplished in life, you're still not as good as you can be. That's true for all of us. We can all be better. We can all do better. We can all behave better. And whatever that ideal is, it's ever before us. We're always reaching for that. That's the struggle. That's the strive. That's the grind. And that's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to want that and to be pressing for that. But I'm talking about who you are right now. Embracing and understanding who you are right now. I've just made a confession about me when it comes to sales and marketing. I know the things to do. I told somebody just yesterday, I said, you know, if the game were strictly a money play, I could wake up tomorrow morning and I know exactly some things to do that would work. I just can't do them. Now, I don't mean that like you might think I mean that. I don't mean that getting up tomorrow morning and making money necessitates being unethical or going against conviction. That's not the point. But I will tell you, it's much easier to do it with trickery than it is to do it out front, cards on the table, shelling it down like it is. Yes, I believe that. I believe that. But I think there's a huge value in the latter, and I think there's a huge problem with the former. That is the trickery, the bait and switch. It may not catch up with you, but if and when it does, it will be ugly. This week, Lance Armstrong has been back in the news. He's a Texan. He's down in Austin. And for some reason, he, through social media, he connects with some guy the guy at SI, you know, the guy who's got a legal kind of a background, and they have this one-on-one. And I was listening to talk radio this morning, and they were interviewing this reporter who met with him. No recording devices were allowed. It was just the two of them in a room at Lance's house, 3 hours. I mean, talk about a fall from grace. But we've seen that before. We have seen that before. In my lifetime, we have seen it before. Pete Rose. I mean, there are a lot of these kinds of stories. From preachers in pulpits. Yes, I'm thinking of you, Jimmy Swaggart. To Pete Rose on a baseball. To you, just a litany of people, popular people who fell from grace. Probably never thought they'd get caught. Probably never thought anything would happen, but it did. Okay, much, much smaller scale, you and me. And we go out there and we try to be something we're not. The world's full of imposters. It's just not how I want to be. There are people, and I have met some people. And we know some people. Some people have been in the media through the years who are imposters. Yes, I'm thinking of you, Bernie Madoff. They portend to be one thing, but that's not at all what they are. There's this whole other game, this whole other world that they're playing in that the rest of us don't see. The world's full of con men, con women. Obviously, it's worth it, or these people wouldn't do that. Obviously, there's some reward, there's some payoff, or they wouldn't be tempted to do it. So they're lured into doing it, and they don't have enough of a moral compass, obviously, to stay the course. Hopefully, you and I do. But that's an important component when we're thinking about who and what we want to be. And the reason that I think it's important, and the reason that I even bring it up, is because we can get caught up in this fantastical world of the internet, and we can fantasize about, man, wouldn't it be great to be this or that? And jokingly, I have on my Twitter profile, you know, that I'm a sage. Of course, go look it up. I am a sage. I don't mean that in the arrogant sense. But you know, that is what we want. That is what many of us want. Many of us, we want to be the sage. We want to be the rock star. We want to come on, get that spotlight over here. Share some of that spotlight over here, you know, on my shiny bald head. But we got to be really careful. We just got to be really careful. And the internet can be this siren call for so many of us. And I'm in the same boat with you because I have to fight it. Yeah. You know what I fight? I fight reading content, listening to people and watching people and thinking, this is going to sound arrogant, but I'm going to say it. I'm smarter than them. I got more experience than them. I know more than them. Some of that's tough to figure out, isn't it? You know, you have felt the same way. You got to keep at it. Now, people talk about transparency and authenticity and all this stuff. And, you know, do all the people who talk about it believe it? I'm not quite sure, but yes, my advice is do that. And it's not so much advice as it is just that's all I know. That's all I know to do because, frankly, I can't imagine Bernie Madoff, the most successful con man of all time, living a double life. Well, maybe triple life for all I know. But can you imagine getting up every day and maintaining that facade? He was obviously terribly good at it. The problem is nobody's good enough to keep it up all the time. And when it comes crashing down, it's a big crash and burn. Lance thought he was above it all. No, not so much. But, you know, hey, that's the lure of money. That's the lure of wealth. And, okay, go for it. No, don't go for it at all. It's not worth it. But when we're trying to figure out, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? If you could go back 20 years ago and ask Bernie, what do you want to be, Bernie? Based on his behavior, the answer would have had to have been, I want to be filthy, stinking rich, and I want to run with the richest people on the planet, and I want them to trust me with their money. Okay. Mission accomplished. Well, he just forgot that other one little detail. You know, I don't want to get caught. I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to lose everything I've got. Okay, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay, well, what about our life? Okay, No. We're not looking at Bernie Madoff or Lance as being our, or Pete Rose as being our model citizens that, okay, we want to do what they do. We want to emulate them. No. No, we don't. But what do you want to do? Well, that whole capacity thing, that whole, where are my talents? Where are my skills? Where are my strengths? What's my capacity? What do I get jazzed about? What can I get excited about? And not only what can I get, we can all get excited about something right now momentarily, but 30 days from now, are we still excited about it? 60 days from now, are we still excited about it? 4 years from now, are we still excited about it? That's hard. And here's what I have found to be true in my own life and in trying to help some other people along the way. Is just narrowing it down because we tend to not want to do that. We don't really want to pigeonhole ourselves. And it's not pigeonholing ourselves at all. It's just being specific. And I suspect, even in my own life, that we don't want to be specific because we don't want to be pinned down. It's kind of like a teacher who asks you a question in class and ask you to be more specific, and you don't want to be specific. You know, you kind of want to give that long, laborious essay type answer where you're basically saying a whole lot, but you're not saying anything. And I think for many of us, that's kind of how we would like to architect our lives when people ask, well, what do you want to do? and it's this long, elaborate, you know, beauty pageant contestant answer that everybody's left scratching their head wondering what that made no sense at all. And that's intentional. We don't want it to make sense because we really don't want to be that specific. Because when we're that specific, I think there's a number of things that come into play. Then we necessarily eliminate some other things that we think, well, you know, but what if this didn't the end all be all? And I think there's a huge component of commitment. Because if we're specific, then we're putting a ring on the finger of that thing. And that's tough for some people. Really tough for some people. Here's what I did. I began to think back of the things that I've historically always done. Things that I've just naturally gravitated toward. I finally, and this took me 4 years. Yeah, buddy, it took me, well, if you count back from 2007, but I'm talking pretty much on a full-time basis, it's taken me 4 years to figure this out. I don't have it figured out, but I've got this much of it figured out. And it took me 4 years to get this much. So that'll show you how bright I am. I just sat down within the last however many months and began to think, what do I just naturally gravitate back toward? And I started thinking about myself as a kid. What did I like to do? What did I do? What just kind of came natural? What was just pretty easy for me to do? And you know, one of the first things I wrote down, because I just, it's just been this ever present kind of thing in my life. I wrote down peacemaker. Yeah, go figure. I can't tell you how many kid conflicts or fist fights at school that I broke up because I talked them out of it. Yeah, I wrote down peacemaker. And that was why. I could remember in grade school, in middle school, a little less so in high school, but especially in grade school and middle school, resolving conflict. Trying to patch things up between people that were just absolutely wild-eyed at each other. I no idea why that, but that popped into my head because I took the time to think, okay, go back to your childhood and go back to just the things that you did instinctively. Okay, when I saw two friends and sometimes two strangers, when I saw people getting into it, my instinct was, without coaching, without provocation, step in, mediate, try to patch it up. No, I never got hit. Nobody ever took a swing at me. You know, kids will get out and we'd get out and we'd have football games and whatever, neighborhood stuff. You don't see it much anymore. That's kind of sad to me. Kids are all locked up looking at a computer screen. But we'd get out and we'd play these games and invariably somebody hits somebody too hard or somebody gets irked, hacked off. And I just began to think about my instincts. Now, I don't know why my instinct is to do that because I know some other people, I knew kids who their instinct was to step further away from that conflict. My instincts were step in, prevent something really stupid from happening. See if I couldn't resolve this. See if I couldn't get these guys, you know, take a breath, calm down. It's cool. We're all friends here. That was my instinct. From there, and I'll shortcut this, but from there I begin to work the process forward. And it leaped out at me like a bolt out of the blue, and it was so blindingly obvious, and I was like, yeah, how have I not seen this before? Anybody that knows me will tell you my propensity for communication. I don't care if it's getting up in front of people. I don't care if it's one-on-one. I don't care if it's in a small informal group. Communication. So I kept thinking about that, and I kept thinking about this whole peacemaker thing. And really what it was, it wasn't so much being a peacemaker as it was my propensity, my instinct to, with words, see if I couldn't make a difference. Are you with me? Are you ahead of me? Do you see where I'm going? I'd love to tell you that I had that figured out when I was a young man. I did not. I've been a sales guy, okay? I started out selling hi-fi gear as a teenager, and so guess what I'm doing? I'm communicating. So by the time I'm in my mid-20s, I'm running a multi-million dollar company, and guess what I'm doing? I'm leading people. I'm leading people, and guess what I'm doing? I'm communicating with people, and guess what I'm doing? I'm team building, and I'm encouraging people, and I'm doing, I guess, well, guess what I'm using? Guess what the tools of my trade are? Words. Speaking. Verbal communication. Audible communication. I happened to be in the consumer electronics business when the CB radio craze hit. Now, I thought this was terrific. Breaker 1-9. Let me tell you what I thought was terrific about it. Of course, I was in the consumer electronics business, and it was a huge boon because this happened back in the 70s when there was the oil embargo and the price of gasoline went crazy, and there was odd even days of being able to go and fill up your car. It wasn't so much rationing as it was you couldn't just go to the gas station and fill up any day you wanted to. In the state where I lived in Louisiana, if your license plate ended in an odd number, you had to go tank up on an odd number day. And they did that to prevent the lines, because there were lines at gas stations. Many of you weren't even alive then. At the same time, the government decided in their wisdom, you know what? We need to lower the speed limit to 55 because that will save fuel. Well, the public had been accustomed to driving 70 miles an hour, and they didn't much like that. And so CB radios had been around for a long, 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 long time. But people jumped on this bandwagon, literally, that truck drivers had been using for years and years. You know what we'll do? We'll get a CB radio and we'll find out where the cops are and we'll drive as fast as we want to drive. And along the way came the radar detector at the same time. It was all great technology. Now, I was captivated by the CB radio craze because there are these things called sunspots, solar flares and whatnot that provide what's called skip. I could be sitting in the yellow studio with a CB radio, even under normal power and under the proper conditions, all of a sudden I hear someone with a very foreign accent coming from halfway around the world. Their signal has skipped up in the atmosphere because of these solar flares, and I can hear them. And under the proper conditions, even with legal power, we might could carry on a very brief conversation. Now, I thought that was just terrific. And of course, then people came along with amplifiers and violated all kinds of laws and could talk around the world. I thought that was cool. And I was kind of into it there. Now, I was a kid, but I was kind of into that. You know what? I wasn't so much, you know what I was into? I already told you I was into talking with people. Hello. Communication. Hello, verbal communication. So doesn't it make sense that I would start chasing DFW cool and have some conversations with people? If you knew this about me and you didn't tell me, okay, don't email me. Don't do anything. Just keep your mouth shut, because it took me 4 years to come to this epiphany. So here's what I know now about myself. I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at talking with people. Pretty good at talking people off the ledge. Now, I've known that for a long, long time. And it hasn't been any propensity to be a pop psychologist. It's just been when I see people with their toes hanging off the edge, my instinct is it's that peacemaker. It's the same thing that I did when I was a third grader on a playground, you know, recess. When I see two kids getting it, I just go and start talking and trying to reason. It's selling, it's communicating. it's just like breathing for me. Okay, well, what about you? Yeah, I know I've gone way longer than I was going to, but yeah, come on. You kind of knew I would, didn't you? What about you? Here's my advice. Here's my tip. Here's my technique. Here's my trick. Here's my tool for the day. Go back, go all the way back. Go back to your youth. Or what did you do instinctively? Is there anything that you did instinctively? Is there anything that you gravitated toward? Did you gravitate toward a certain game or certain toys? Why? Why those things? Think about how you are with other people. Think about how you are alone. Think about what really gets your juices going. Are there things in your childhood that you got pretty excited about and now maybe 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 or 50 years later for people like me that you're thinking, you know, I still get excited about that. Then you're probably on to something. Yep. You're probably on to something. Because if it's a lifetime of interest, and if it's your natural instinct, I'm not promising you that you'll be great at it, but you might be. It might be the thing to do, and it might be the answer to what do you want to do? Future episodes, I'll try to tell you what I'm doing with this newfound knowledge that I have. Meanwhile, you know what I've been doing for the last however many years, podcasting. Well, now, doesn't that just make sense? Yep. Makes perfect sense to me. Now, some of us are compelled. We're compelled to do certain things, and I'm encouraging you to find the thing that you just seem to be compelled to do, the thing that just instinctually, it just happens. I mean, before you've even had time to think, all of a sudden, here you are. Why didn't I think of that sooner? Well, because I'm not that brilliant. But you knew that already. I've told you that before. Thanks for listening. I hope you find your way. And even if you have found your way, you and I both know it's not a once and done deal. Once we find our way, it doesn't mean, well, okay, that problem's solved. That's never going to rear its ugly head. No. Listen, successful people, financially and otherwise, struggle. They have moments of doubt and fear and doom and gloom and wondering, you know, what am I doing and why am I doing this? Here's the great, great thing. The great thing is the internet affords us the opportunity to connect with some people that otherwise you'd have never crossed paths with. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, we've gone from, you know, the days of the early pioneers, which, okay, go back. You don't have to go back that far, kids. I mean, go back a century, 100 years, which sounds like forever. But if you go back 100 years, think about how small the community was and think about how few people ventured beyond their town, their village, their neighborhood, if they lived in a big, big city. Now look at us today. We're connected with people all over the planet. It's a blessing and a curse. The curse is because we're connected all over the planet and it seems so big and it seems so monumental and the opportunity seems so vast. I think we are inclined to put on a mask. We are inclined to try to be something that we're not. We're inclined to try because, come on, they don't know who we are, right? We can pretend to be anybody we want to be. You know, that's real. That's absolutely real. I'm telling you, resist that. I'm telling you, just shell it down. Just don't worry about it. Pretend that they live right next door. Pretend that they know your every move. Pretend that you can't hide anything. I think it's a better way to go. It certainly is a more honest way to go, and you'll be able to sleep at night. And you won't have to get up tomorrow and worrying, will the neighbors really find out that we don't have as much money as we want them to think we have? get over all that. Just get over all that. Okay, go to the website, BoolaNetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't done that already, you can do that through iTunes or Stitcher. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.